Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, and welcome to Reloscope, the Relationship Science Insights podcast produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We are champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm Marie Stella, your host from Melbourne, Australia. Let's start the show. Welcome back to the show. It's hard to look past the melancholy in the face of fresh breakups, but recognizing the importance of learning and growth can make all the difference in your quest to move forward. So today we're talking about the treacherous post-breakup self-growth journey, and guiding us through this discussion is marriage and family therapist Ada Gonzalez. Hi Ada, it's great to have you on the show.
Hello, it's great to be here on the show.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm really curious to know, in your line of work, what's the most common post-breakup obstacle your clients come to you with?
They tend to get so depressed, number one, that they have a hard time functioning, or they are so focused on how horrible the experience was or how horrible the other person is that they get stuck.
Yeah, I think I can relate to that. I've probably been there a couple of times in my life. Is this only applicable to people who are particularly more like prone to depression? For example, people who are neurodivergent, or can this happen to anyone?
It can happen to anyone. Of course, if you are prone to depression, it is almost a given that you will get more depressed. But anybody can fall into it because it's ending something, is ending habits that you have created together, is feeling lonely because you are used to being with this person. So it's easy to feel sad, but people get stuck when they feel that, oh, I need to be sad forever, or this person did me so much harm that I will never be able to recover from this. Then it gets really sticky.
Yeah. It sounds like people tend to get lost as well after, you know, the end of such habits. So that's a great introduction to our topic for today. But before we get further into detail, we'd like to get to know you better. This is Have You Met Ada? What do you like to do in your spare time?
Oh my goodness, I like to do many things. I love music and I am a classically trained pianist. Mm-hmm. So I like to play my piano. I like to read a lot. I like to interact with my 3-year-old granddaughter who is away from me, but we do FaceTime and things like that. And I like knitting and crocheting and traveling and photography. A whole bunch of things.
I do love photography myself, a huge fan of photography, and classical piano as well. My brother plays the classical piano and it's just the best thing ever when I wake up to it in the morning. Do you read any books?
Oh yeah, I read all kinds of books. A lot of professional books because I am a lifelong learner. But when I want something lighter, some historical novel tends to fill that space too.
Wow, historical novels aren't even a light subject in the first place. So that's amazing that that's considered light to you. That's definitely not my definition of light. I could only wish to be at that point you are at right now. What about films?
Oh, I am not so much into films. I think because I am not as visual, I learn better by doing and by reading than by watching things. And I guess at this time in my life, I find many movies just silly. Mm-hmm. And I know they are not, and I don't have anything against people that love them. But to me, it almost feels like a waste of time many times, unless it is a story, real story based movie or a historical movie again, which is not right.
like possibly a documentary.
Yeah, some documentaries are good too.
That makes a lot of sense. I do know a lot of people who don't like to watch television or films, and that's completely valid. I personally am a visual learner, so I do watch a lot of TV and films, and I wish I could read as much as you people, but reading can be difficult sometimes for me. So I tend to like just stick to TV and films. But aside from that, is there a podcast that you listen to?
Yes. Some. Not too many, because again, I read faster. So I tend to go and see what the people on the podcast have that I can read.
Yeah. I envy you. I envy you so much. I do wish I could read that well. Unfortunately, it's just not something that comes easy to me. So podcasts, well, like even podcasts, I find that like if I were listening to a podcast, I tend to have to like rewind a bit, because then I kind of like get distracted by something else, right? Which is ironic as I am hosting a podcast at the moment. But
well, I think it has to do with my music, because since I was small, I was trained in reading music. And reading music, the more you advance, the faster you have to be able to read it. So I guess that translates into regular reading too.
That makes a lot of sense. I know a lot of people in music who grew up sight reading, and that's kind of like naturally how they do it. They probably can't like necessarily play by ear as well as other people, whereas people learned how to play by ear can do that but can't sight read. It's like a different set of skills almost.
Correct. It's, and that's me, I am the sight reading one, and not so much playing by ear.
That's amazing. I feel like with sight reading, I have to write down the notes, because for some it just all gets jumbled up to me, or like the finger placing or something like that. So I envy you so much. Is there someone in your life that you look up to?
Well, it depends in which category.
Let's say your family.
Well, my father is someone that I always have looked up to. He's now 97 years old. I'm going to see him next week because he's turning 97.
Amazing. And
he has always been an inspiration to me, and in many ways, things that I do and think today come from him. And he probably is the one that woke up in me the desire for learning and for music and all that.
That's great. And 97 is such a milestone. So congratulations to you and your father, and I wish him the best of health. That's 97. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing a bit about yourself. Now we're moving on to the interview section. And the first question that we like to ask is, what is a relationship? It does vary from person to person, so we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yes, it varies, and it varies in what kind of relationship, but any kind of relationship includes being connected and coordinating behaviors and having feelings and friendship type of things that you do together. So it's a being together in relationship, is a connecting together, both time and feelings and ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm. And so if we're talking about in the context of a romantic relationship, in your opinion, does it hold the same meaning, structure, and importance as decades ago?
I think you might be surprised by my answer. I think that it's even more important today, because the world tends to be very connected and very disconnected at the same time. Mm-hmm. We are connected through electronics all around, but the one-on-one connection where you look at the other person in the eye and you are having that real special connection is not there so much. People don't take time for it. So in this kind of world, is very important to have those special relationships. But at the same time, it puts a lot of pressure in the relationship because people kind of expect that the other person will feel all the relationship needs because they don't have time for other relationships. So they focus everything in this one person, in this one relationship. And that's why breakups are so difficult, because it's kind of filling all the little holes. But that's also why relationships get into trouble, because nobody really can be everything for the other person.
So that's a really good point you put out there. I agree. I feel like relationships shouldn't be there just to fill up some holes, and the holes should be kind of like worked on your own while being in the relationship. And it's just when the relationship ends, then the holes are still there. So it's definitely something that should be worked on yourself. But how would you define relationships at separation?
Well, if you have been in a close relationship, separation is with you when you stop that closeness. Sometimes it includes physical separation, but other times people keep living together, but they are still not doing things together or being together like in a love relationship. But that can be messy. It makes things more difficult. So the other thing is that by separation, it means it's almost like tearing apart. You were weaving this thing together, and now you need to take it apart, almost as the old seamstress needed to take apart a seam that was not right. And that metaphor kind of appeals to me, because you have been weaving your lives together, and now you need to unweave them. You are separating things, and so you know you are not doing that anymore.
Yeah, that's an amazing analogy, and I kind of have it in my mind of like, well, if I restring a guitar and I restring it the wrong way, now I have to do the painstaking task of like unwinding it again and then like rewinding. That's just yep. Annoying. That's just the pain, you know. So in your experience, what are some of the common challenges that people face when experiencing this relationship satisfaction, relationship separation?
Well, there are different challenges. And it depends on the kind of relationship. And it also depends if you are the one leaving the relationship or if you are the one being left. There are two different things in there.
So what's the difference there?
Well, the difference is if you are being the one being left, you experience more pain because you were not necessarily anticipating the breakup. While if you are the one who is leaving, maybe you have been thinking about it for a while, or you might have been preparing for how you were going to do that separation. So it's different. But one of the challenges is how to answer when people start asking things like, what happened? I have not seen you with so-and-so. What happened? And for that kind of thing, you kind of need to prepare a press release, I call it, a short paragraph in which you can say something like, oh, well, it just wasn't working out anymore, so we have gone our separate ways.
Yeah, and it's always something kind of cryptic and that doesn't air too much dirty laundry, but kind of tells you, hey, it's over, in the very PR terms. That's a great way of putting it. So
now the other challenge is that you might start focusing only on how much it hurt, or thinking that it was all the other person's fault, that you didn't contribute anything to it, or because it hurts and you don't want it to hurt, jumping too soon into a new relationship, or deciding you are going to just keep busy so that you don't think. all of those are challenges that you need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. And how can self-reflection help with this?
Well, it can help because you need to reflect in order to learn. If you don't reflect, you are not going to learn anything from what happened. So you need to take that time to reflect, to think, what happened here? What were signs that I didn't see? And what can I do different the next time? And how did I contribute to it? Reflection is very important if you want to learn anything.
What are some reflective prompts that can help people think and learn a bit more about their experiences and perhaps maybe think about things that they wouldn't otherwise think of or ask themselves on their
own? How many prompts you want? 1, 2, 6?
Let's hear maybe like 5 or 6.
Okay.
Of your best ones.
One prompt could be, looking back, what were some things that you didn't like in your relationship so that you can be aware of it? Number two, what is something that you were wanting to do, but because you were in the relationship, you didn't do? Or what were red flags in the relationship, maybe at the beginning, maybe in the middle of it, that you didn't pay attention to? You ignore them. Or what is something that you know now about yourself that you didn't know before, that you learned to know because you were in that relationship? Or what did you learn about what you like and don't like because of the relationship? Or what is something that you can do today to help you bounce back? Don't think about what you need to learn in 6 months. What is something that you can learn today that can help you bounce back? So there are 6 there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for exactly 6. I appreciate it. Attention to detail is it's admirable. Are there any signs that a post-breakup reflective experience has been effective?
Well, sometimes you will have a change of perspective, but sometimes you will just reaffirm that your first perspective was right. So it depends on the individual. But I think a big part of it is remembering that a breakup is a transition. You are going from being in a relationship to being on your own again, and then to decide what you want to do after that. And transitions tend to have a predictable pathway, like facing reality, ending and letting go, and the messy feelings in between, and then the new beginnings. All transitions share that. And when it is a breakup, you need to remember that it is a transition, and therefore it's an opportunity to start a new chapter in the story of your life. The old chapter is done. You have to you will have some things that are a continuation, but you need to start a new chapter. Mm-hmm.
That is very apt. And so apart from reflection, what are some other things that can help with the post-breakup personal growth?
Well, one thing is you have to be patient with yourself and with the process. Depending on your personality, some people like things done now and done. Mm-hmm. Well, on a breakup, you are not going to be done in 2 days. You have to be patient with yourself. You have to be consistent in taking every day some action that will help you reflect and learn, and that will help you move on, because otherwise you can get stuck. You have to take the time to reflect and to understand the process, even if you are tempted not to take any time, because if you keep busy, you don't think. But you do need to think and reflect and learn. And also, you need to realize that you need to follow that blueprint, because a breakup is almost like a death. And you go through phases like when someone dies, because it's the death of your relationship. The only problem is that the skeleton is still walking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And it's probably the same for if you have ended a friendship or something like that, because it's the death of a person in your life. They're no longer in your life. They might still be walking this earth, but you're no longer talking to them. You no longer have anything to do with them, unless you decide to stay friends, which will probably take a while, but that's besides the point. So what are some misconceptions about this post-breakup growth?
Well, one of the misconceptions, we have in Spanish a saying that says, un clavo saca otro clavo, which means one nail takes off another nail. But in love, it's not true that one love helps get over the other love. Mm-hmm. That's a big misconception. You have to really heal and move on before you even consider another relationship. Because if you jump into another relationship too soon, most likely you will not have learned anything. And after a while, you will go like, wow, this just is like my last relationship that didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And it sounds like you probably also carry over all of the past trauma from the past relationship into this relationship, and then just as a result act a bit less trustworthy of your partner, which is not something that's ideal in a new relationship. So what frame of mindsets can help people view this period as a good opportunity for introspection?
Well, if you have the mind frame of learning something, even through a difficulty, is always a positive experience, even if it's painful. Because sometimes we don't learn until it is painful. It reminds me of my younger son once when he was, 7 or 8 years old. He had a bike and we live in a place where he could bike easily around. And one day it had rained a lot and he wanted to take the bike out. And I said, no, because it has been raining and you can slip and fall. Well, when I was not looking, he went on the bike and he slept and fell and was coming back home, pushing his bike with blood on his knees and sobbing. And he was saying in between his sobs, I learned, mommy. I learned, mommy.
Amazing impression of your son. I don't know how accurate it is, but I see the vision. It's like he's right in front of me.
And so that happens sometimes for us. Maybe we had friends that had told us, hey, that relationship might not be the best for you. That person doesn't really fit you. Or you have seen signs that maybe a breakup was coming, but you kept going straight ahead because, I love him or her so much that I just cannot live without them. And then the breakup happens. And then whatever you have to learn, maybe you could have learned it a different way, but now because you are hurting, you are more willing to be open to the learning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I feel like this is something I can relate to as someone who's been through like too many relationships. But essentially, it's always like, I always hated my exes, right? For like, I still kind of do. And I still think they were wrong in many aspects. However, I learned a bit more recently, unfortunately, it has taken me several tries to get to this point of learning that, you know, I could have communicated a bit better, or I could have reacted a bit better, or I could have, you know, had more open conversations or something like that. Like there's something that I could have done differently.
Or you could have chosen someone that was different.
That's true. Exactly. I could have chosen someone who's different too. Yeah, exactly.
Because sometimes you have serial relationships that is the same person with a different name, because you have not learned yet that the combination of how the person is and you doesn't go well together.
Yeah. I'm going to have a think, like a serious think about this after the recording, because that possibility has not crossed my mind before. And I am actually kind of concerned right now, but
I didn't mean to make you concerned.
Don't worry about it. It's good. I'll have to think about that afterwards. But back to the interview, can you provide some guidance on how to set realistic and meaningful goals for personal growth after breakup?
Well, number one, you have to make goals that are small, but very specific. And it depends where you are in the process of after the breakup. So to give you an example, if you have been so sad that you are not getting out of bed and getting out of your pajamas, a specific small goal will be, well, I will get up and take a shower and dress and go out and get a coffee. That's a specific, it's not too big. You cannot decide all of a sudden I'm going to buy a ticket and go to, I don't know, Saudi Arabia for the weekend. That's too big. It has to be something small, okay?
Yeah, and it has to, I think it also has to be something that will kind of alleviate the sadness a bit. Something that will make you feel a bit better as well. You can't just go like, I'm really, really sad. I'm going to need to do work today. That's going to stress me out even more. Like, do something a bit nice for yourself too. Let that be the goal.
Well, sometimes people are afraid of doing something that might make them happy for 10 minutes because, oh no, I'm still feeling bad about my breakup.
Yeah.
No, you can feel bad at certain points and you can still feel good at other points. So don't fall into that trap of you have to feel bad 24/7, you know? And remember that motivation is overrated. If you are waiting for the motivation to make some goals, it will never happen. In some ways, you have to make decisions to take action, because the only thing that will get you out of that is small actions that you take consistently until you are doing better.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I also feel like some people might be too afraid to just do something that's a bit different from their regular like schedule or their regular day-to-day life. Like they feel like, oh, I never get coffee, I never go out for walks, like I'm not going to change anything now. But your life is falling apart. So like, why do you feel like you need to stick to this daily schedule and you must do everything the same way it is? Try something new. Like even if it's just a small thing, it doesn't have to be like, again, flying to Saudi Arabia.
but a transition is a great opportunity to try new things.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So what other advice do you have for those who might feel stuck or overwhelmed by all these little steps or these things that they should be doing to get out of bed and to do something?
Well, don't push yourself too hard. Don't do too many shoulds. Instead of saying, I should be doing A or B, say, I choose to do I want to do A or B. Because if you think in terms of shoulds, then you start feeling bad about yourself if you don't do it. While if you just say, I choose to do it, and then later on you decide you don't want to do it, well, you are just choosing now not to do it.
That makes a lot of sense. Also, because should does have this connotation of like, it's an expectation. It's an external expectation. Someone else is expecting you to do this. And you don't really necessarily want to do this, but you should.
Well, it's almost like having to do with the law, you know? Mm-hmm. You should not drive drunk. Mm-hmm. That's a should.
Yeah, it's an external expectation.
Correct.
Although I'm not many saying, people, yeah, although
many,
I'm not,
many
I'm not,
people still do it. Yeah. It's not that it's not good. Yeah. It's good. You should not drive drunk.
Yeah, just a disclaimer. I'm not saying that you shouldn't not. Now I'm confused. All I'm saying is that it's an external expectation, and I don't condone driving when drunk.
Correct.
That's all.
Which is correct. But some people, just because it is assured you should not drive drunk, they just do it to see if they can get away with it.
Mm.
Instead of thinking, I choose not to drive drunk because I don't want to kill anybody or myself.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. So finally, what are some key takeaways that you'd like to offer to us, especially to those who are hoping to turn their breakup into an opportunity for self-reflection?
Well, I will just repeat a few of the key points. One is be patient with yourself and with the process. Don't expect immediate results. Number two, be consistent with taking action, because if you don't take action, you will stay stuck. Take time to reflect and to learn from your past relationship and make sure that you grow through the process, that you don't get into a place where you feel, oh, it's all the other person's fault or it's all my fault. Because in a relationship, both contribute to whatever happens. So learning that is important. And remembering that transitions is a blueprint. There is a blueprint for transitions, that if you follow the blueprint for transitions, you will get to the other side because it's predictable. Mm-hmm. And I just want to gift anybody that is listening and wanted an infographic that I made with that blueprint for transitions, and is on www.yourheartconnection.com/transition-infographic. And if you go there, you can get it for free. And I think you will find it helpful.
Amazing.
As you navigate your breakup.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that insight, Ada. We'll link that infographic in the show notes so everyone can access it. Now we're moving on to the practice/habits section. And this is where we ask you about the practical application of what you've just shared with us. So let's say you're going through a breakup. What is a practice that you would do to learn and grow after experiencing this breakup?
I assign, or a person should assign, a specific time in their calendar for reflection. Being that at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, in the middle of the day, doesn't matter, at a time when they can do it without feeling that they have to hurry up and do something else. And at the same time, at a time where they will not fall asleep while they are trying to reflect. It depends if you are more of a morning or a late night person. So that's important to put it in your calendar, because if you don't, you will be very tempted not to take the time, because we are always busy with one thing or another.
Yeah. What are three good things about this practice?
Well, number one, it slows you down a little bit in this world of hurry, 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 and it's instant everything. We forget that slowing down a little bit is what let us really learn, because there is, without reflection, there is no learning. You can read all you want. You can listen to 150 podcasts. You can watch 360 movies. But unless you take the time to reflect on what you are seeing or listening, you are not going to learn anything. Mm-hmm. It's just information that goes and doesn't do anything.
Yeah, so, I can imagine that that would also help to give you some form of responsibility, give you something to look forward to during the day, give you something to be like, hey, I've got to do this. This is something I've got to do for myself. And that can help, well, not really fill the hole that the relationship has left, but kind of like create new habits for yourself. So I can see how that would be great. Are there any challenges when it comes to setting aside this time in your calendar?
Well, you need to decide if you want to write your reflections or if you want to talk your reflections. Because some people like to write, some people don't like to write. But you cannot just think about it. You have to take it out of your brain into either a voice notes or notes, right. Notes.
Yeah, you've got to like materialize it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many ways you could go about it, really. You could do like a video diary if you like talking to the camera. You could do like voice notes. You could try and write your reflections into like a rhyming story or like a poem to give yourself a little extra challenge or make it a bit more fun. You could do like Tumblr posts or something if you're cringe. There's so many ways
you can make a song.
You could make a song. It doesn't have to just be as boring as like, I don't want to say boring because what if people actually do it and they don't find it boring, then I'd be calling them boring. But it doesn't have to be as like simple as just writing it in your notes or like on paper and pen.
And it can be different on any given day. It doesn't have to be always the same either.
Yeah. That sounds like something that people can do, like just every day, do a little different type of reflection, like a different mode for their reflection. And that will be kind of like, it's also an artistic pursuit almost. So it doesn't have to feel like a chore either. So that sounds like a great way to do it. So are there any other practices that you'd recommend to be combined with this?
Well, you need to keep active physically. We are a whole person. It's just not only our heart and our brain. We are physical too. And when we are going through the pain of a separation or a breakup, we need to keep active physically because physical exercise brings down endorphins from your brain and endorphins make you feel better. So keeping active, even if it is just going once around the block or going up and down the steps 10 times, or whatever it is, keep moving.
Yeah, or walk to the neighboring suburb for coffee instead of like next door. And that'll give you like a bit of walking with purpose rather than just around the block.
Watch your pet.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Exactly. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ada. Now we're moving on to the open mic section, and this is your opportunity to talk about anything that you're passionate about, and it doesn't have to be related to the topic at all. So the floor is yours. Take it away.
Okay. So two things. Number one, I am always very interested in how the brain works. And I love the fact that we can always keep learning new things because we get new neurons in our brain that are born almost every day, which that is an assurance that regardless of what habit you are trying to conquer because of the breakup, you will learn it if you are consistent and if you make the strong decision for it. So that's a great way to remind yourself that, yes, you can do things differently. And the other thing, which is my preferred theme of conversation, is my 3-year-old granddaughter whose name is Sienna.
Oh,
she is also cute. Too bad that I live in Delaware in the United States and she lives in Florida in the United States, which is a 2.5 or 3-hour flight. But I try to see her at least every 3 months in person, and we do FaceTime every week or every other week.
Oh, that's really sweet.
And one thing that I really love about our FaceTimes is she plays with me as if I were present with her in the room.
Oh.
So after she says, "Hi, Nana," she goes like, "Let's go to my room and let's play when." And she has a thing that she wants to play. And she says, "You will do this and I will do that." And, you know.
Yeah.
And I think what I like about that is that it talks about a relationship, because she doesn't see me as someone that is out there somewhere that she can just say hi and not much else. Mm-hmm. She sees the interaction. She feels that we can interact.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, that's just like any other relationship. You have that interaction that connects you with love.
That's adorable. And that really reminds me of my relationship with my best friend who lives in Singapore, which is like a 7-ish hour flight away from here. And we FaceTime a lot. And we always just pretend that the phone essentially is the actual person. So we're like, "Oh, I'm going to the kitchen. You want to follow me? I'm bringing you here. I'm bringing you there. I'll like show you around and stuff like that." But it's obviously like very different because you're talking about a 2-year old girl with incredible cognitive ability, apparently.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ada. I do love hearing personal stories. It always makes it such a warm and inviting conversation. So I really appreciate it a lot. If our listeners want to find out more about you and what you do, where can they go?
Well, they can go to my website, which is transformativeconversations.com. And then I have a whole session about me that they can explore.
Amazing. Transformativeconversations.com. We'll link it in the show notes. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you. It was great talking with you.
You've been listening to Reloscope, the Relationship Science Insights podcast produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. For more episodes like this from 10 different life management perspectives, search LMSL on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, so you can get updated on everything we have to offer. We have a wide range of topics readily available for you to check out. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps us grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at re.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Marie Stella. Thanks for tuning in.